mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 408. I'm Adam, and we could even go, take it away, too tall, or the other way around. Whatever, I don't care about quotes. Here's Debbie Melrose.
Make mistakes and confuse the enemy.
Mary Lang.
I'm most dangerous when I don't know what I'm doing.
We know, but can you give us a quote, please? And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh, look, rocks.
Yes. Right, this week we're going to be looking at Destiny of the Daleks, which is Terry Nation's last contribution in line of Dalek stories for Doctor Who. Which was last full stop. And well, he's not very good.
Another thing behind you besides your police box.
What?
You've got that weeping angel.
Uh-huh. Oh, not the blinker.
Don't blink.
Anyway,
we'll stare at it for you.
I'll talk about it later, but I feel that he had an issue with continuity and consistency with his own characters, or the script editor changed a few things that annoyed me. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. What?
Master?
What?
Master?
What?
Same script. So script editor was Douglas Adams.
Yes, I know it was Douglas Adams.
He was having a lot of fun and wrote large chunks of this, including the strange regeneration scene at the beginning.
Yeah. I did wonder if that was his.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it doesn't really surprise me at all. We'll talk about that later anyway. Right then, so how is everybody?
A lot better, thank you.
Yes, I wasn't actually asking out of sympathy, Debbie. Just wondering in general that everybody seems to be all right, are they?
Yeah.
Good. Does that mean we might have another episode in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, and go ahead and record without me in 2 weeks.
That's exactly what we're going to do. Right. Fine. Then, so as we've done the sort of fineries, is that the word? What do they call those things when you sort of randomly...
Pleasantries.
Go around sort of...
I like calling them fineries. That's quite cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Shut up. I'm very stressed. It's just pointless times in which people just ask how each person is and they don't really care. Right then, so we start with the Destiny of the Daleks, which starts with the Doctor trying to fix K-9's voice. Ironically, his voice, because John Leeson had decided that he didn't want to do the voice anymore. Yes, Kirby.
You'll notice that these are called Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3, Episode 4. Somebody goofed, and every other story this season and the previous season was Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, etc.
Well, that made a big difference to the story, didn't
it?
Yeah.
I feel so
it's a very pedantic thing I would notice.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very Kirby thing. It's a Kirbyism.
Lillian Robin joined, and then she said hi. So, hi, Lillian. Right then.
Hi, lovely Lillian.
And then,
hi, Lillian.
You're right. And then Lala Ward walks in and does the regeneration gag.
So strange.
Too tall.
Bit of filler there. All a bit silly. But okay, I can live with that.
Although you'll notice that the short regeneration is wearing the headdress of one of the characters from Robots of Death.
Yeah, there you go. Thank
well, I didn't understand why she changed clothes every time she regenerated. She wasn't just stood in the same outfit the whole time.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
I know, but, you know, that's part of the joy of the regeneration process, isn't
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. and they're actually inside a time machine, and it's a science fiction and fantasy TV show, Douglas Adams is having a play around with. Okay. Just telling.
Yeah, Douglas Adams was just trying to confuse us all by changing how regeneration works.
She eventually settles for Lala Ward's form, wearing a pink version of the Doctor's outfit. Bear with him, just letting the dog in.
I love that outfit.
I wish she would have worn that, you know, for her whole time as a companion.
Are you coming in, Star?
Well, I kind of like the schoolgirl outfit.
I bet you do, Kirby. Are you coming in or not? I'm waiting for the dog. Sorry, this is great podcasting.
Except I think she had a hard time with that extra long scarf. You know, the doctor has been wearing his for a while, so he knows how to get it out of his way. But during this story, she just kept tripping over hers.
That's probably why they got rid of the outfit in the end.
Yeah, probably.
The
thing
is, my props fall down in the background is because they're getting knocked by the dogs that are currently in them. Star's trying to squeeze past the TARDIS at the moment.
The exact duplicate of the doctor's outfit that she was wearing at the very first when she wanders in and he goes perfect, that happened to be the stunt copy. It's for a shorter person, particularly Terry Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool, I didn't know that.
But I love the way that they actually, when they walk out of the cave, the way the TARDIS is lit, so you can see it in the background. It's very cool. But anyway, back to, so she's wearing a cool outfit, her version of the Doctor's
Master?
Oh, God, yes.
If you were to go down to the southern tip of the isle, to the town of Niton.
Niton.
And yes. go west approximately 20 miles. There's Windspit Quarry.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
You should do that sometime.
Okay, let's go down to Knighton and give it a go, shall we?
Nah. Right then.
And the weird thing is that until I looked up where Windspit Quarry was, I had no idea, and you can't really see the ocean when you're watching the episode. Or when you're watching the like seven episode games, and yet it's right there.
Is it?
Yes, it's right on the ocean.
Well, you can see it in the episode.
I suppose if you look at it,
no, you can't.
From a watching perspective, you can see it's coastal, but we're looking back at it. Yeah.
Also, besides they're using Windspit Quarry for this and for. Blake Seven games, they also used it in Underwater Menace.
Are they?
I'm done.
Oh, sorry. Actually, reasonably interesting. Sorry, the TARDIS wobbled then because Star just walked past it. It's a traditional Doctor Who wobbly set. That's only for the four people that are watching the thing at the moment, including Laurie Nix, who says, hello.
Hello, Laurie.
Megabyte people.
Hi, Laurie. Welcome.
And that's about it, really. So, where were we? I was trying to do an episode of Doctor Who, wasn't I? So they're in a quarry, as Kirby was saying, and they wandered through, and it's quite a good quarry.
Most of those caves you can't go into anymore because of they're trying to preserve the bats.
The what? Oh, the bats. Not the bats.
Yes, there's bats in there.
The bats. Yes.
Even though those are quarried out caves.
That's a lovely southern twang, actually, Kirby. I enjoyed that. Oh, I nearly... the bats. Sounded a bit like Sheldon then, the bats. Anyway, right. So, there's a bit of the Doctor and Romana wandering around for... How are we getting on to 10 minutes now? Then we get to see some downtrodden workers pointlessly burying someone. This is where the Doctor and Romana then become a bit ghoulish. Grizzly ghouls going into a tomb and digging him straight back up again to find out what he died of.
They're just moving chunks of styrofoam.
That was blatantly obvious, but it's...
I like the sound effects that made it seem like they were real rocks.
When he's breathing, it's moving up and down.
Kirby, three things. One, it was Scaro, so you don't know how heavy the rocks are. Two, it's science fiction fantasy TV show. Oh. And three, you don't know what these light rocks from Scaro might sound like while they're being thrown around.
Light rocks from Scaro. I like that.
I did notice that the Doctor did get a bit touchy-feely with Romana in this story.
I noticed that too.
And then a funny-looking spaceship.
Were they 40 at this time?
Probably were, yeah. They said, I don't think this episode was filmed first, was it?
No, this is the third story filmed.
Yeah, because I think, is it Creature from the Pit? Was that the first one that they filmed?
Yes, Creature in the Pit was first, and then City of Death.
And you can tell because Romana's character is completely different in Creature from the Pit, if you watch that one, watch that later.
I can't wait until we do that one. We've never done that one before.
Yeah, and then an upside down top of the Saturn rocket lands. I'll press the button then. It's quite cool, actually. It sort of buries itself.
Yeah, they did a good job with that, actually. Yeah.
And then when you see it actually landed, the sort of wide shot of the actual model prop thingy doesn't actually look anything like the spaceship that was landing, really.
Yeah.
Take that into consideration. But good effort. Good effort there from the special effects people. And then those of explosions go off, and the Doctor and Mana sort of make their way into... They make their way into where all these rocks keep falling down. That's not the spaceship, is it?
I think it's like some kind of ruin, don't they?
This is just
a ruin. Yeah, ruined city, they call it.
It's part of the Khaled city.
But then a lump of polystyrene lands on the Doctor.
Again, very obviously.
Yeah. And while it's on...
when Lola Ward crawls over top of it.
Yeah. I was about to say that.
Oh, yeah. If that were really heavy stone, she'd be crushing him doing that.
And just note for the viewers that I can see what you're saying, even though you're not saying anything. Just saying, when you do say stuff, I can see what you're saying. I have a little thing on the side of the screen here which feeds comments up. So, yes, if you are there, say hello, or I'll set Robin, Lillian, and Nick's lorry onto you. Did like the way that we're mixing?
Sorry.
Like the way I mixed up their names there. Yeah. Robin, Lillian, and Nick's lorry. Right, so, yeah, so like we say, what's the name again? Oh, Romana. Oh, Joe Briscoe says hello. I really do need to get these very vocals sorted out.
Hello.
And they say the Doctor is buried, and then Romana goes off to fetch help, and the Doctor starts reading a book by
Ulan Khalufa.
Not Douglas Adams, then. That's probably out, doesn't it? Ashley Hughes says hi. And then Romana meets a bloke that looks a bit like my granddad.
Ulan Khalufa is mentioned in the first 2 minutes of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episode 1.
Yep.
So you're implying that Douglas Adams inserted that particular part of the story?
I know.
Only slightly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slight implication.
What's her name again? Romana, sorry. We're going to call her Romana because I don't think she used a longer version of her name anymore.
I'm not saying it ever again.
No, I think you'll find Alan.
What if Alan T. Butcher is
it? I'm just calling her Romana. I'm not saying it ever again. I just get the Mickey ripped out of me every time I try.
Now, that scene where she's going up to the TARDIS and it starts to get buried by stuff, that's where I took the screenshot of the TARDIS there and matched it up against the screenshot from Blake 7. I found it very interesting that they found the exact same place to put the camera, whereas the two shows, I believe, were filmed 2 or 3 years apart.
Now, if you're not a member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, you won't know what the blimmin' heck he's talking about. So we're going to move on. So Romana, like you said, goes back to the TARDIS. However, we did skip past the bit where you interrupted me. So if I can find my points. I got interrupted, so that takes Kirby's point. My point.
Kirby!
The bloke who played the... then looked a bit ghoulish, sort of scary, you know, chap, looked a bit like my granddad. Not that my granddad looked scary, just this chap looked a bit like my granddad. And, looked like he was a bit creepy, didn't he? He was following Romana, and she hurt her ankle and got some cold water for her. That's a fib.
Yeah.
And then there's a load of explosions, and the TARDIS gets buried by a very conveniently patterned load of polystyrene rocks. Yes, Kirby.
Tim Barlow, who played Tyson.
Tyson, that's the chap.
He's deaf. I don't know if he was using he had a cochlear implant later on, but when he was in this, he's completely deaf.
Now, when I first heard that, I misheard you, and rather aptly, you said he was deaf. I thought, well, he'd look a bit sort of ill, but I couldn't quite go that far.
He lost his hearing in the 1950s when testing a high-velocity muzzle rifle for the British Army.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Laurie Nick says Tyson.
Yeah, it's double S, isn't it? Tyson. Yeah. T-Y-S-S-A-N.
Now, are you saying these scenes with the polystyrene burying of the target were shot on the Isle of Wight, Kirby?
What?
Were you trying to imply that these scenes with the polystyrene buried TARDIS was shot on the Isle of Wight?
No.
What were you going on about Knighton for earlier on then?
Oh, he said if you go down to Knighton and then you go, I think it was west, 20 miles, you'll hit the quarry. That's
which is on the mainland. Is that what you're saying?
It's on the mainland.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Right, so...
And I made a joke about us trying it, and you thought, you went,
that's probably why it wasn't very funny, so we get back to zero for Kirby. Right. Anyway, so poor old Romana, the TARDIS is buried, so she's a bit stuck, and the Doctor sort of isn't that bothered about being buried by polystyrene rocks anyway, and a load of Mavarians, is it?
Movellans.
Movellans, I'm really good with names, turn up and point guns at him, and then I think they're guns. They look a bit like the old Lego guns I used to build when I was at primary school, actually.
Well, they seem to have like a stun setting or something that just puts people to sleep.
You know, when I see that picture of the three, what are they called again?
Movellans.
Yeah. So next week, I'll see the chap from Porridge and the woman from Carry On Emmanuel. And I'm thinking, doesn't really fit for me. But I know Suzanne Danielle is a fine actress. Well, maybe, I don't know. I'm not too sure about the bloke in the middle. But obviously the bloke from Tony Asober, is it? Or Asubi?
Yes.
And Suzanne Danielle, obviously, who is
and he's been in three stories now.
Is he?
Yeah, he was in
I don't remember that one.
He shows up again in Dragonfire.
Oh.
And then he was in Kill the Moon. He was in Kill the Moon.
Was he fine?
Yeah. The moon is an egg.
The what? Oh, in there, yeah, shut up. Anyway, so Romana comes back and finds the Doctor gone, but starts reading his book anyway. And then the creepy man, Tyson, catches up with her. The Doctor, meanwhile, is sort of now on the bridge of the very sort of clean-looking Movellan ship. Have I got it right this time?
It looks like a disco to happen.
Or it's the Americans call it Movellans.
That's what I meant. Yeah, it was a disco. Like Laurie pointed out, it's just disco.
A very fancy computer they had there as well. It was quite interesting, wasn't it? On the screen, lots of high-tech numbers flashing up and stuff like that. A bit like the computer screen.
It's a bit like the TV series Heart of Gold as well, I thought.
Yeah, but the wasn't it Robots of Death? They had a big screen with some fancy computer graphics going across it. When I say fancy computer graphics, I mean rubbish ones. Yes, Dick Kirby.
That is unusual for Doctor Who at this time. Mm. That is not a CSO screen. That is the largest TV screen you could purchase.
Was it?
Oh, okay.
Wow, that was big.
Yeah. Wonder how much that cost.
Yeah, wonder how big the tube was on it. I think,
Your license fee paid for it.
Oh, yeah. Did it?
It's really quite cool, though. Right, so Romana's been knocked out. Lots of people getting knocked out in this story. Right next to a photographic, looks like a studio light. It's just sort of standing in the corner. And then she comes around the corner and there's a load of Daleks coming.
Yes, that was a bit obscure, wasn't it?
And then she does the thing that she did in the previous story. It looks a bit scared, and it's the same scared acting she did as Princess Astra. And you do notice in this story how ropey the Daleks are.
They had to go all over the place to find four working Daleks.
Working Daleks? Well, that's interesting.
and some of the Daleks in the final scene in episode four are vacuum form things that they made molds from these Daleks. And there's people carrying them, and they're only photographed from one side.
The funny thing is, obviously, when these Doctor Who stories were shown on old television screens, and you even noticed it in the old days when we only had VHS, how badly battered they were. You would have thought they could have touched them up a little bit, made them look a bit better, wouldn't you? I would have thought.
Well, there's some nice plastic tape on some of them. That's
is that really what I'm trying to get to? Lillian Robbins said, "I'd like to cosplay a Movellan." I know the listeners would have heard that bit. All right, so she gets bullied by some Daleks. The Doctor, meanwhile, Oh, yeah, and then they stick her in a chair with and put her hand on a couple of balls to get the, to get some truthful answers out of her.
That's not a very Dalek thing to do.
To get the answers out of her.
Yeah.
She's quite good in those scenes, actually, to be fair. And then Tyson turns up looking a bit healthier this time on the bridge of the Mavellan ship. And Romana is sent down into the caves to meet some friends and do some work. I'm just paraphrasing through these bits.
I like that. Meet some friends and do some work.
Yeah. And then they come up with a cunning plan to distract the Daleks by Romana sort of flaking out. Because we've got to mention, obviously, this is Skaro, and there's lots of radiation everywhere.
Master?
Oh, God.
they make the whole... The Doctor makes this whole big speech about the radiation and having to take the pills on time and everything.
Yeah, and then they stop doing it.
And then they never once take another pill.
Well, there you go.
It happens again. No.
I don't think they mentioned that many times in the original Dalek story, Kirby. I know there was a thing they had to get back to the TARDIS, didn't they? They had to get back to the TARDIS to get some radiation stuff.
Oh, yeah, they did have to do that
but
several
not,
times.
It wasn't that much. Anyway. It wasn't that long ago we watched it. Anyway.
Couple of years, isn't it?
The Mavellans are enemies of the Daleks. They are robots as well. And the thing, obviously, that annoyed me is when they refer to the Daleks as being robots.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
One robotic creature against another, I think, was a quote from the story.
Master.
Davros says it at some point, robot versus robot.
He does indeed, Debbie, yes. Yes,
there's a theory
that Douglas Adams inserted that nonsense, yes.
That they had gone fully robotic by this point.
That is not a theory. That's just trying to make an excuse for bad writing. Okay. They all agree with me because they didn't say anything. Excuse me about... Oh, dear, sorry. A bit of a... Yeah, sorry. all right, so... somebody's carried out... Is it Romana? I'm trying to see what's happening. Oh, yeah, the Daleks Oh, yeah, because there's somebody in prison on this ship, aren't they? And the Daleks have come to get him. And Lillian Robin says, robots that were lipstick and mascara.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there was a couple of Mavellans get done in a small battle with a couple of Daleks. I do like the angles in which the Daleks were shot at, looking low upwards. I don't think that's actually been used before.
Yeah, it makes it look more threatening.
Yeah, really, really good. Good direction, that's what you call that, Kirby. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Romana's been buried with the letters on her tomb, Ronana. Just saying. And... interesting that they were using English on Skaro, and that they...
Yeah, and they're not using rels or anything either. They're using miles and inches and
minutes. Yeah. 6 hours till the fleet arrive ship arrives.
Maybe the translator on the TARDIS just translates everything to British or terms. You know.
Or Terry Nation was being very lazy.
Or these bits were rewritten by Douglas Adams.
He kept writing the same story over and over and over.
He did. So the Doctor Romana. Doctor Mavellan. Oh yeah, Romana. Are they find
there,
they
Kirby?
I beg your pardon.
I think what? Kirby's having a can of pop.
Yeah, I was trying to gloss over that. So the Doctor and Suzanne, Danielle, Tyson, and Romana find a sort of Davros that needs dusting down a little bit.
My goodness, yeah.
But they fiddle with something and his little light comes on and that's the end of episode 2.
Dusty Davros.
Different voice for Davros on this occasion. Yes.
When we last saw Davros, he was in the bunker.
Right.
Which is not where they are. They're in level 3 of the city.
Right.
So what they do? Kill him and move him?
I don't know. They must have decided to move him or get him out there somehow. I don't know. They haven't really explained this because I don't think they thought it was an issue.
I'm just being pedantic.
I know. I'm saying this is something to take into consideration that when whoever decides to do these stories probably didn't think that in about 10 years' time, Doctor Who fans would be sort of putting a magnifying glass over every bit of continuity in the history of Doctor Who and trying to work out a way of linking it all together.
But it's very human,
taped and reshown and all that. I mean, it would have been a while since anyone would have seen that.
Yes, exactly. And they would never think that they would come out on video and people would be able to watch them on tap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to make an excuse for it. It's a little bit irritating because, you know, certain things they do it perfectly well on and then other things they don't, you know. It's just annoying. But obviously later on when in the video age, they tried to make things a bit more consistent, didn't they, to a certain degree. Like I say...
Master?
Oh, God.
They went to the guy who originally made the Davros costume and asked him how much to make a new one. And he was no longer working for the BBC. He was independent. And he quoted them so much that they went to one of the Doctor Who exhibitions. Probably, was there one in Blackpool?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the original costume from Genesis, but it had been sitting on display in one of the Doctor Who exhibitions for the last 4 years.
Right.
And it was kind of musty when David Gooderson...
Yeah, I was imagining it probably was.
So,
it
didn't quite fit him, obviously.
The mouth bit was very, very noticeable, wasn't it?
Yeah. And this version of Davros just didn't strike the usual fear into me that... I just felt wrong-footed by it.
The voice was wrong. Everything about him was wrong.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame. It's a shame. But never mind.
All the people walking back past Davros in the exhibition also had broken off a lot of his switches. Right. So they had to reconstruct those.
The gits. So something that we find them on eBay one day, Davros switch.
Davros switch, yeah.
Anyway, like we're saying, he wakes up and he wiggles his fingers and stuff like that. It's really quite cool. And the Doctor makes friends with them immediately and starts wheeling them around, which is quite interesting. When you see the Doctor wheeling Davros around, it's very much like when we had the Daleks and Davros in Cows the other day. And we had Anthony Griffiths pushing Davros up away from the ferry terminal up towards that 60s place, and it did remind me of the Doctor pushing Davros in this particular.
Yeah. So,
some cool corridors as per usual in Doctor Who.
Should have got Tom to do it.
Yeah, I don't think it was done for aesthetic reasons. I did get a picture of Anthony pushing Davros and some Daleks up that particular road. Anyway, right. There were some Daleks available. I think he was trying to sell me a Dalek, actually, Anthony. He offered it for me to have it for £500. I said, if only. Deb said no before I got to the end of the sentence. Where are we going to keep it? Well, it comes in three parts. You just keep it upstairs in the attic. Well, the bottom half. The bottom bit might have been a bit difficult to get upstairs in the attic, but the middle bit and the top bit.
Elevate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. I'd like to have one. And he does make a good Dalek, does Anthony. I think we should actually call Anthony Davros now, because he actually makes a better Dalek than Davros himself. And they don't kill people. You know? So if you come to FantasyCon, the Daleks we have at FantasyCon are harmless. They will not hurt you unless you trip over them or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor, I say, is Davros doesn't go very far. He's been kept in a room with a window. I do like the new graphics they got for when we see everything from the Dalek's eye view. Sort of target-y sort of thing, which is quite good. Which is starting to get towards the more modern Dalek eye view things we see now.
Master?
Really, yes?
This is also the first Dalek story where they're not taking the entire screen, and when the Daleks shoot someone, they're not just simply reversing...
Yeah,
the entire screen. They're making mats around the people and trying to.
And you can see his skeleton a couple of times.
Yeah.
You try the skeleton thing. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That could be because this story has gone through a redo of the special effects. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did that with the spaceship, didn't they?
DVD.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think you're right. You made me think of something then. What were we talking about?
Windows.
Yeah, you're talking about the special effect. The sound effect for the Dalek gun as well is more recognisable.
Yes.
We have some great conversations between Davros and the Doctor, in which they use some great backwards and forwards focusing techniques. You've got Davros in the foreground and the Doctor in the background. That works so well. Although nowadays the sort of focusing would be more dramatic. It's just slightly out of focus, where now it'd be massively out of focus. But I love that, those bits. And I love the bombs as well. The sort of red plastic things with the yellow thing around it that the Doctor's planning to blow, or threatening to blow Davros up with, if just to keep the Daleks under control. And there's two Dalek factions, aren't there? The grey ones and the black ones. And obviously one faction wants Davros to show them how to be Daleks again, and the other one wants... What's the other one want? To kill Davros? I can't remember now. Did someone say Master, for goodness sake?
Yes, those bombs are drinks cans.
Are they? Right. Right then, now the Daleks start leading some rather... Oh yeah, that's right. They're trying to get the Doctor to to give himself up, I think, isn't it? He's hiding around the corner, so they're not very good at finding people anyway, these Daleks. So they bring some random extras who look like they've just been on a night in the town.
Yeah, poor people who are mining. Yeah, and just
shoot them. They just sort of fall.
Let me keep shooting these people until the Doctor comes out. There you go.
When you think, they've not been paid to die properly, have they? Because normally in Doctor Who,
they lay down like they're going to go to sleep.
Yeah, when they shoot someone, if they've been paid properly to die after being shot by a doc, they scream and go, ah, ah, ah. Especially that one
They raided the BBC's Doctor Who costumes, too. What is the one green costume with the big shoulder pads? What was that? It was from another Dalek episode.
Was it? Okay. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Hurt me one.
Yeah, no one. Back to what I was saying. Yes. It was. If you remember, we haven't seen it yet. Obviously, we've all seen it, but not in the one. Is it Resurrection of the Daleks? The Peter Davison one, where the woman who used to be in play school, when she gets shot by the Dalek, she really does go over the top with a rah! As she's dying. But these people haven't been paid to do that, so they're just having a nap. I see what you mean about the matting with the they just do a there's a woman. Oh, it's a bloke, is it? I thought there's a bloke in the background that had a strange yellow hair. I thought it was like a thing, but it looks like maybe it's a turban or something. Anyway, right, so eventually, after the Doctor's allowed three or four people to get killed by the Daleks, he says, "Oh, stop it! I'll come in." And then he uses a drinks canister. I mean, a bomb to stop the Daleks from doing any more. What else is going on here? And they carry out the dead bodies while the Daleks. That's right. Because Davros says, let him whatever is it, let him climb out the window. I don't know. He climbs out the window anyway, and I think he plans to blow the whole place up, but it didn't go quite to plan. And they use some very, very clever camera angles with the Doctor sort of hanging off the side of a cliff and the Daleks above him, because there's no way the Daleks would be able to move around these sort of quarry areas very easily anyway.
Right.
And then the Doctor finds a slab of meat. So it's a very stretchy slab of meat.
It was like silly putty or something.
And then they put Romana in the tube that they used in the Pyramids of Mars, or Pyramids of Mars. Remember they had Sarah Jane in a tube, and the Doctor to work out
I don't remember her being in a tube.
No, she was in a tube because in the little games they played to get to the end of the Pyramid of Mars.
I remember now.
Yes, you remember now. I was going to just remind the listeners that it was a scene in which the Doctor had to work out some sort of puzzle to work out which of the mummies was lying to release.
That's right.
Yes, Sarah. So that was the same tube. And don't deny it isn't,
very
Kirby.
I agree.
It's the BBC. So the Doctor disables one of the robots and Oh yeah, and then Romana's stuck in a tube, and then the bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you. And then of course the little digital
Draconian. It's a Draconian costume.
What is?
The green costume with the shoulder things.
Thank you for that. You know,
three conversations ago.
Yeah, exactly. And of course the clock is counting down because Romana's going to get blown to smithereens. Because he's trying to get her out. Well, all it is a ploy to get the doctor there so they can knock him out again.
All right.
So meanwhile, Davros looks like he's more in control at this point, the Mavellans have the Doctor and Romana in custody, but basically sat in a nice sofa on their bridge.
Yes. Yeah. This is why I likened it to the Heart of Gold, because, they're just chilling out on the bridge, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Then we get to a scene where I think might have been written by Terry Nation. Not by Douglas Adams, who's trying to make it turn it into a comedy, is when the Doctor explains to Mavellans why they can't beat the Daleks and vice versa.
Oh, that's a brilliant scene, actually.
Rock, paper, scissors, and that is a really cool scene. I like to think that was a Nation bit of writing.
My favourite scene, actually, I think.
Yeah. Except there is no logical way of winning. You can't always just the Mavellans can't always win or come to a stalemate. There's no way to stalemate always.
You're ruining the story, Kirby.
Yes.
Sorry about the TARDIS moving, yes. But the dog just nudged it.
Only this time that he's ruining it.
That was my favorite bit, and you just had to ruin it. Anyway,
it's my favourite scene. That was so. Yeah.
Tyson rallies the citizens of Skaro. Well, it's a planet, for goodness' sake, but the citizens of this part of Skaro who didn't look anything
they're all part of the crew, aren't they? From landed.
The current inhabitants of this area.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were citizens of.
Into a bit of tomfoolery, while the Doctor and Romana are carrying on playing rock paper scissors. The Davros has tied, well, I don't know how he's done it, but lots of explosives around some of the Daleks.
Around all of them by the end of it.
Not all of them, by the end of it, maybe. I don't know.
Bumper crop of explosives there.
I don't know. He's got a plan to use the Daleks as suicide bombers.
And this happens only a couple of scenes after the Daleks said that self-sacrifice is illogical.
Yeah.
Was it the same Daleks, though, Kirby?
They look like it.
Yeah. So anyway, so the Doctor comes in and has an arm wrestle with Davros, which is quite funny. And then there's all hell breaks loose, and that's right there. People are blown up, spaceships are set on fire and blown up, and the funny thing is that this made me laugh. This is probably a Douglas Adams scene, in which the Doctor has another arm wrestle with Davros and he flicks his hands, so he releases it and presses the explosion button too early, and all the Daleks blow up at the wrong time. Great video of exploding Daleks, has to be said.
Mm-hmm. The camera pans up. Comfortable the way the Doctor was treating Davros in some of these scenes. Just not that you expect respect for him.
No, he deserved being treated very nice.
I just felt the Doctor was just, it was a bullying thing.
Yeah, bullying and making fun of.
Under these circumstances, I think he deserved it.
Yeah.
For the type of person he was. He created a species that was hell-bent on killing everybody.
I know, but I just felt the Doctor normally would be a little bit more respectful of his enemies.
I think on this, I don't think he respects Davros. I think respect him as a scientist, but I think as a person, I think he's just being tough is what he needs to be with
in Genesis, he and Davros were like on equal grounds. They were arguing with each other, and they both looked threatening, but equally so. In this one, it just looks like because the doctor is always standing over him and making
fun of him. He's pulling an old man in a nursing
home. Shooting around. It's like, like he has
on,
no
Debbie.
Respect and there's no meeting of minds.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
And it's like Davros towards the end is trying to reason with him, a scientist to scientist, and the doctor's like, you know, it feels like someone bullying an old man in an old people's home.
I feel that it's because the doctor knows what the... You know, there was a point in the past where he had respect for him, but all that respect went when he just, at the end of Genesis of the Daleks, he knew what Davros was, and there was no going back. But I accept what you're saying, but I don't agree with it. But anyway, so, yeah, so Davros gets frozen up, which is obviously consistent with his next appearance.
Master?
Oh, for God's sake.
That Perspex cylinder, it's the same one from... that they used earlier in the story. Yeah. When they came back from the quarry.
Okay, but it used to also be... Also used to be a part of the time rotor on the earlier versions of the TARDIS, just saying. Anyway, so he says goodbye to Davros, and the Melon ship lifts off, and they dig out the TARDIS, who's buried under these rocks. Romana on her own apparently couldn't move earlier on in the story, but individually she lobbed a great big rock away anyway, and that was the end of the story. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Now, Destiny of the Daleks. Now, it is crap, but it's not the sort of crap that makes me think I don't want to watch it, because I love seeing the Daleks on screen. I love the little sort of silliness in regards to the regeneration, because it's up to this point that the only other Time Lord that regenerated was the Rinpoche, from Planet of Spiders. So it's nice to see another Time Lord regeneration, however absurd it was. I think some of the direction was great. There's certain aspects of it that I quite enjoy. I'm glad it's only four episodes, but it is pretty crap. But I think it's because I'm not being funny, but I think somebody ruined the original script, because Terry Nation, I know he can sort of rehash things sometimes, but he wrote Daleks. That story got Doctor Who going, and it's why it's still here now. That story became an amazing movie with a certain person who's coming to our convention, and went on to be another amazing movie. And we've got a character, the Daleks, obviously a certain other person who may have done the design of the Daleks, but it's Genesis of Daleks, written by him, is supposed to be, or renowned to being, one of the best stories ever, if not the. And so Terry Nation isn't a bad writer. I think he sometimes, like you say, he might be able to be a bit, oh, well, we'll write this story, but it's a bit like the previous one. But I can't believe he would write something so appallingly bad. Apart from Keys of Marinus, well, I actually quite liked Keys of Marinus, but on a dark
side. I hate Keys of Marinus.
Shut up. It doesn't matter. So, I don't know. If I think sometimes script writers, script editors can ruin an original script. And I like to feel that that's probably what's happened here. I think Douglas Adams thought, Daleks! I've got a chance to mess around with Daleks and make it fun. And it didn't work. But as a episode, it's a watchable story, but you know, and it's just got annoying things, inconsistencies within the canon of Doctor Who in it.
There ever been an interview with Terry Nation in which he has spoken about this particular episode?
I haven't seen one.
Okay, I just wondered what his own opinion. But
there are several interviews, not with him, obviously, on the DVD. There's an interview with Barry Letts and Terrence Dix, and they were both going. Barry Letts was saying that at one point Terry Nation kept coming and presenting a script, and three times he presented basically the same story with different names, and he was a good sport about it when Barry Letts would tell him, hey, you've already given us this. Oh, did I? I'm sorry. So he was kind of repetitive.
Okay. Well, I'll accept
that. But Adam's point is that he thought if Douglas Adams had left it alone, it might have been a better story.
I don't think it would have
been.
I feel it could have been a better story if Douglas Adams hadn't, you know. Maybe I should have just made it a two-parter, perhaps. I don't know. Because obviously they did pad out quite a lot of it. I don't know. Yeah. Lillian Robin says, this story is silly, but I'm fond of it. Like me. It's crap, but I'm fond of it. I think it's got a great title.
Title.
The title of the story, Destiny of the Daleks. I like that.
That was apparently the title from the beginning, unlike most.
Yeah.
So.
Another one in which when the story starts, it does rather give away who's in it, but there you go. Okay, right then, Kirby, what did you think?
This story, I've always kind of liked it, even though I realize that it's crap. Mm-hmm. It's just, I've always liked that, even though it's the regeneration scene is very strange, I enjoy watching it. And I think this may have been the second Dalek story I ever saw, which also colors how I watch this one. Although watching it again this time, I realized, you're right, it's crap. And also I'm going to say something which is going to be sound sacrilegious. Douglas Adams was not a very good script editor.
Okay.
It does sound sacrilegious, but in this case, it is true.
I don't think you can say it was bad for the whole series, but certainly for this one, yes.
Well, when you look at... Well, there's two stories... No, wait, have I seen all these?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories coming up this season, which are even crappier. So... Okay, Lord, well, Naima.
Yeah, all right. Don't give the game away. We haven't got there yet. But I think
we do that one.
The Horns of Nymon's more of a sort of comedy for me. But yeah. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Debbie, have you seen this story before?
Nope.
What do you think of it?
Oh, really?
No.
Lucky you.
I really struggled with this one. I struggled with how bitty it was. You could see who'd written what, who'd bested what, and it just didn't work. And it was crap. And I was so disappointed because, you know, Terry Nation Daleks, it's supposed to be the Daleks, the scary Daleks. And I was, when Davros woke up and opened his mouth and just was like,
part of
rotten,
his mouth, you mean? The inner part of his mouth.
And, I also found the bit when Romana's being interrogated, the Daleks wouldn't have wasted their time doing that. They wouldn't. Why would they do that? You know, why did they bother? Just this thing, her logic is sound, her answers are right, you know, let's let her go. That's not Dalek. That's
right.
Yeah, but this is part of the story. They wanted Davros to teach them how to be Daleks, though, Debbie.
Yeah, I know, but it's still... I just felt sort of wrong-footed from the moment we met the Daleks and then when Davros turned up. I just felt that it wasn't a properly written, let's go, here's the really scary Daleks. It was they were sort of incidental. And okay. I had to watch the last episode twice because I'd zoned out of it the first time because I was playing a game on my phone while I was watching it and I got...
Oh, my goodness.
Normally I could sit there playing Tetris or something on my phone and not be distracted from the story, but obviously this time I was, and that's really telling when that happens to me, and because normally I'm just there watching it but playing a game rather than writing notes like I always used to. And this time I had to go back and watch it again today just to get the gist. And I had actually taken it all in. It really was just that wasn't much going on in that last episode. But Tom Baker's obviously enjoying himself, and him and Romana have definitely got a thing going on at this point. But I just, as a first watcher, I'm not going back to watch it again, unfortunately.
Incorrect decision.
I'll go back and watch this one again many times.
I'll watch it again if you ask me to, but I don't think I want to again because I just, it felt wrong, and it felt what they did with Davros, just as we said when we were talking through. I just felt sort of let down by this one, and Davros was not what he should have been, and the Daleks weren't, as far as I was concerned, and the Mavellans are very weird.
It's mystery. There's sort of creepy,
there was a lot of makeup and disco going on there, so yeah. But it's timey-wimey. It's a space story. It's as you normally say. Yeah, it's but I just felt a bit let down.
It's a very long way of saying it's crap.
It is okay. Crap. That at the beginning, it's crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. What do you think of it, Mary?
Oh, where do I begin?
Well, that would be a good thing.
To sum it up, it's like four episodes of a story where nothing really happens. All we do is make discoveries. We discover that, Daleks are here because, you know, we don't know where we are, but then we discover we do because there's Daleks here. And then all this digging for what? Oh, then we discover that we're uncovering Davros. And in the course of things, it's like, who the heck are these Movellans? Oh, we discovered that they're robots. And then it's seriously along the course of the story, we find out that all the rocks on Skaro are actually made of styrofoam. So that's, you know, another discovery.
For British listeners, that's polystyrene.
Styrofoam, we call it. Anyway,
yeah, polystyrene.
And the only thing that we find out that's been going on is centuries have gone by with two robotic cultures that have not fired a single shot. They're at war, but absolutely nothing has happened in that so-called war yet. So it's like, so we're at a standstill. This whole thing is just four episodes of a standstill with some discoveries. Now, we already talked about how rubbish Davros is, you know, that rubbery mask that doesn't really fit him. His voice is wrong. He wobbles and sways when he's being pushed around by everybody like a grocery cart. Davros has no threat, no credibility in this. And speaking of no credibility, they really must have invited anybody off the street that was looking, you know, for a day wage to come and stand around and be not only indifferent to being shot down, but, you know, as we talked about, they just want to lay down and take naps. But then they're laughing at inappropriate times.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This was the worst group of extras, I think, in the history of film. But they just take the air out of any scene they're in, because all you're doing is watching how stupid they are and how badly dressed they are. Some of them even had masks on, obviously masks. So, I mean, that was just awful. For me, the only bright spots were watching Tom Baker and Lala Ward, because they were comfortable with each other. They were having a good time doing this.
We can guess why. And
the way that the getting along well translates in this story is because he's already been with Romana. She's basically the same person, even though she's regenerated, you know, that he's already comfortable with her and knows how to deal with her. But other than those two, this one's a real stinker. I don't think I would ever want to watch it again.
Mary?
Yes.
Was this the first time you'd seen this one?
Yes.
Well, yeah. There you go. all right, well, that rather sums everything up. I'm going to see if Kirby posted a request for feedback on the...
Yes, of course I did.
Yeah, all right, then, let's see if we can find it.
And I'm probably not going to be able to post the request next week, so...
Well, we have an episode next week, you silly man. I told you I was in London.
Oh.
Oh,
the week
nobody's
after.
Nobody's going to be around next weekend. Nobody. We're all skiving off next week.
Yeah,
no. Hey. Right then, is this it here, Kirby? I'm always tickled by the 1980 Doctor Who theme prime computer ads, or was it from earlier? Oh, here we are, I found it. Right, let's see what we got. Alan T. Butcher, is that 28th of April as in 28th of April on Gregorian calendar, or is it the 28th of April as in the 5th of May on the Gregorian
He's
calendar?
He's making fun of the fact that I messed up the last request for...
Okay. Right then, let's see how long Laurie Nix's one is. Oh, it's quite a long one. That's for you, Kirby, then.
Oh, it is?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
My thoughts. I was excited to watch this one as I'd forgotten a lot about it.
Oh, dear.
Now I kind of realize why I'd forgotten. If you've ever wondered if something could be both good and boring at the same time, view Destiny of the Daleks. It has so much going for it. Baker and Ward have excellent chemistry. The Romana reboot is intriguing. Terry Nation and Douglas Adams on board. The return of Daleks and Davros. Egypto-disco robots. Tyson's profile. Yet the baddies in this one are lackluster at best and easily defeated. The logic stalemate is a weak plot device. Davros is a pale reflection of his former self. It all looks a bit cheap and worn, too slow and plot lazy. Not the destiny we all expected for the badass Daleks. Though to be fair, Genesis of the Daleks was a very hard act to follow. I think we've got a mixed bag. It's certainly not the worst serial of this period. No, it's not. That's like my comment. It's a refreshing change from some of the silliness we saw in Romana 1's arc. As debuts go, Romana 2's is decent enough. Lala does a great job in being similar but just different enough to intrigue the viewer. So if you focus on the Doctor and her rather than the bad guys, it's perfectly enjoyable. On a lighter note, my headcanon about the Movellans going to a Boney M. concert, or at least the disco after filming, kept me highly entertained throughout.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We've got so much feedback to get through this week, listeners. I hope you've got
time. It was a nice bit of feedback.
It was a nice bit of feedback. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But we got so much feedback to get through this week, listeners, so I hope you've got time to sit back and listen to it all. We've got this bit.
Yay!
This is Ian Kern.
Hello, Ian.
Destiny of the Daleks by Terry Nation. Terry Nation's 12th and final Dalek story. Because the 13th story will be unlucky. Time Lords use regeneration to avoid dying. In this story, Romana uses regeneration as a fashion statement. She also uses some odd body shapes to force the Doctor into accepting her first choice of new body, Princess Astra. They say the Daleks are robots, but they are mutants inside an armoured vehicle.
Correct.
And not nice mutants like the X-Men. A Dalek says a cruiser will arrive in 6 hours, while they usually use rails. The TARDIS prop looks new in this. K-9 sits out another story. Davros ends up frozen, like Han Solo in Star Wars. The last time Davros appeared, he was exterminated by a Dalek.
I'm not dead!
He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not!
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
Bye for now.
Yes, thank you very much, Ian. At least he put some feedback into the show this week. Okay. Right. Doctor Who news. Okay, everybody's getting really excited about that. And I'm trying to look back through what we haven't reviewed or looked at since we last did the show. And anything that sort of reminds me of anything, there's an unofficial Doctor Who annual 1972. We talked about that because that was in March. Doctor Who magazine 537. We talked about that because that was earlier on in the month. The Children's Hospice Across Scotland charity event, which Mr. Capaldi was at. I don't know if we talked about that. We've got the Big Finish Fifth Doctor Meets Peter Davison's Fifth Doctor Meets Samuel Barnett's Cicero this September in a Doctor Who audio drama from Big Finish Productions as the Doctor, Tegan and Nyssa, travel back to ancient Naples and the town of Cumae by the base of Mount Vesuvius.
Oh. Hey, I'm there next week.
Be very careful. I have a funny feeling, Debbie, just as a reminder, that Vesuvius is a volcano.
Yes, I'm staying right in its shadow. It's going to be very interesting.
I don't think we'll be particularly interesting if it erupts.
Watch out for the
spontaneously. Interesting, oh God, we're all going to die. That's
fascinating. Great. So that's an interesting one to come up. We've got Lethbridge Stewart's stories coming out. We've got, what's this here? BBC Digital have released a trailer for the forthcoming virtual reality film, Doctor Who The Runaway. I suppose I better play the trailer.
I hope that works on my Google 3D viewer thingy.
This is a video, so I'll apologise.
I'm the Doctor. Nice to meet you.
Destroy anyone or anything that threatens the stability of the universe.
Oh.
yet.
Yeah, was it terribly the official great podcasting?
Yeah, no.
Well, no, it was yeah.
Not made for audio. Yeah.
No, if you want to see the video, go to Doctor Who News .net. Joe,
yeah,
Grant,
I've got a master.
Yes,
I've got a Google Daydream 3D viewer, which I use on my phone. I'm hoping that this will be watchable on that.
Yeah. Anyway, BBC Studios.
It's a game. You're playing a game.
Yes. Thank you. It's a game, Kirby. BBC Studios have announced that the next series, next release in their Doctor Who The Collection will be the 10th anniversary series of adventures starring John Pertwee as the Doctor. And they've done a special film that looks like a season 10 announcement trailer with somebody who wasn't available for FantasyCon, Katie Manning. So there you go. Candy Jars, Lucy Wilson Mysteries, nominated for Scribe Awards. Don't know quite what that's got to do with Doctor Who. The 2019 Doctor Who fan art competition is also on. You'd have to read about that because there's quite a lot of Yes.
If you read the actual article. The Lucy Wilson Mysteries is a licensed Doctor Who spin-off novel and features the granddaughter of the Doctor's best friend, Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for clearing that one up for me, Kirby. Right then, there's the Series 4 Steelbook announced. BBC Studios have announced the forthcoming release of the Doctor Who 4th series of adventures in the 21st century in a Blu-ray Steelbook. When you can watch the episodes quite easily elsewhere and not spend an absolute fortune. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Debbie?
Yeah, is that the one Dean Hill shared a picture of the other day?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Mm.
Doctor Who Magazine Special Edition 52 Costume Design.
I'll have to get that one.
Yeah, you can get it from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, pretty sure it's still going at the moment. I think the website is at least. Black Archive, there's some books. Back archive books coming out, number 1331, Dalek Invasion of Earth and Warrior's Gate, and more Lethbridge Stewart stuff. And then we've got the final thing at the top here, most recent, it was yesterday in fact, it says William Russell to star in Brazilian movie with his son Alfred Enoch. Actor William Russell, who lived the first Doctor's companion, Ian Chesterton, is in Brazil to participate in the film Medida Provisional. Yeah, it's all foreign stuff.
Provisional Measure.
Oh, there, that's the English title. With his son, Alfred Enoch, Harry Potter, How to Get Away with Murder as part of...
His son was in Harry Potter.
Who did he play in Harry Potter?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Dean. The character Dean. He was in the first film and he did a commentary on the Quidditch game. Do you remember? I may be wrong.
Looking Dean up Thomas, song, yeah, okay.
That's somebody else, yeah.
Dean, what's his surname?
Look Dean it up, Thomas.
Kurt. Dean Thomas.
Dean yeah. Thomas didn't do the commentary. That was Fred and George's mate. Can't remember what his name is.
The black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who he is. Okay. Alfred Enoch. Oh, for God's sake. Right. Stop putting me off. So that's essentially news. Apart from, of course, when we talked...
I had no idea he was the son of William Russell.
Yeah, really? So he must have had him very old. How old is he?
He's 30.
Yeah, so how old is William Russell? 90?
Yeah, I think so.
He was in his 60s when he had him.
94, it says. 94,
so he would have been 64. So, yeah. But there you go. Anyway, so then we move on to a subject close to my heart, FantasyCon.
Yay! So
anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, FantasyCon. Play on words. So we can just talk a little bit about, I don't know where we got up to last time we did a show, because you lot keep on skiving off.
Well, we haven't had our meeting before, last time we recorded, I think.
We did, but that's irrelevant. We have got some notes here. I can refer to my notes.
Hooray!
I'm going to actually read down the list of notes I have here. Where the hell is it? Just talk amongst yourselves. I'll try to find this particular... here we are. Right, this is a list of what we have going on at the FantasyCon. We have... Oh, it says FantasyCon at the top. So, FantasyCon. the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast live on the Sunday, probably around about the 12 o'clock time, starring myself, Debbie Melrose, Ben Shoveler, Alan T. Butcher, he's not listening so he won't know that yet, and whoever we managed to drag along to the stage. And bear in mind, I'm in charge. That will probably be some Doctor Who celebrities, and probably everybody is available, actually, for a short period of time on each one, because we have to get the show done within maybe a 45 minutes period of time. Lord of Time mini convention, which is the nucleus of the event. Mm-hmm. It's not the highlight.
It's the whole reason you're doing this whole thing.
That's it.
It was the inception of it, but it's just I couldn't really... Being a fan, if I go to an event, yeah, okay, I did enjoy my time up at Dimensions, you know, as a Doctor Who fan. But a perfect event for me has everything at it.
The variety, yeah.
A bit of everything I love. And if I could have other genres that I am a fan of at the like Big Bang Theory, we've got cardboard cutouts of the Big Bang Theory, but to actually have people like that there. And other sort of pop culture things, I would have them there. I'm not a great fan of Game of Thrones, but I know a lot of people are. But I can't invite guests for a program I don't know anything about, you see.
I love Thrones. I think it's one of my favourite shows ever.
They'll have guests available to invite, but I'd have to get your sort of knowledge as to whether they'd be worth inviting.
Okay. You know
what I mean? But not now, because we've... haven't got any facility for inviting anybody else
until we sell some more tickets.
No, this year, if we sell enough tickets. Kids Zone, which speaks for itself, that's something that's growing at the moment. It's got a few things in place. Island Cake Studio make cakes, Debbie.
I know, and they're lovely people too.
Yes, they are indeed, and they turned up to the meeting, which is particularly lovely of them. We've got panels going on at the event. We haven't announced the panels yet because I'm not entirely sure exactly what they are, but you can guess what they're going to be by the guests we have at the event. We've got artists such as Alistair Pearson and Clive Burrows, and not announced yet because he hasn't paid, but we've got Dan Digby, who's an incredibly clever comic artist, coming along. Hoping he's going to be designing our mascot for the event. We'll watch this space on that one. We've got.
I thought Izzy was going to be our mascot.
Where the hell did you get that idea from?
I was joking about it when I had my hair done.
Well, yeah, we'll watch this space. Comic Coffee will be there to provide
yes.
coffee, amongst other things.
Essential.
Yeah, we've got Doctor Who characters such as Cassandra and Cyberman.
Izzy's a mascot. You know the mascot of the 1996 Olympics was that? Yeah, the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta was called Izzy.
Shut up. We've got. characters such as Cassandra and Cyberman, Daleks, Davros, K-9, and things like that. That the very clever Davros himself.
Going to be great.
You put me off and I've forgotten his name now. Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, anyway, so he's going to be bringing along. And he's also going to... I've got to look it up now. Embarrassing. Anthony Griffiths, our own Davros, Dalek builder extraordinaire. Him and a few other people are going to Portsmouth Comic Con with a massive load of leaflets for our event to give out. Where did I get up to? I've lost my place.
Some more leaflets?
No, I've just given them all to Anthony, so no. Not until we get some more printed off. So we got the COSCAS, which is the Isle of Wight Festival of Cosplay Awards.
Yay.
So there will be five awards at each day for various categories of cosplay, one of which will be this year's Doctor Who cosplayer, which obviously we gave that award out last year at the Island Con. We've got a charity auction on the Sunday, and on the Saturday we've got a special raffle that Vijay wants to do for one of her cosplay friends who passed away recently.
Oh, I saw that post, yeah.
So we'll be doing a raffle on the Saturday and a charity auction on the Sunday. Games of Foam, which is, even though we haven't got any Game of Thrones things at it, we've got Games of Foam, the Nerf Wars
yes.
activity for anybody age 7 and upwards. Who's eating?
I'm not eating. I've just moved one of Isla's presents. Sorry.
We've got the various TV stars, obviously. We'll talk about them later. Heroes, an amazing retail store. Now, if anybody's watching on the Facebook feed, I'm going to show them something. I didn't get it from Heroes, but this is the sort of thing you can get at Heroes. This is a 10th Doctor Funko Pop. Sort of thing you can get here is because some of them, the Funko have re-released some vaulted characters. And I'm going to show you something else actually. Hold on a minute, because it's up here under my Yankee candle. I have to remove my Yankee candle down there because I don't want to break it. This particular character here, I'm a bit intrigued by. There it is. See it? It is a Ninth Doctor with banana. Don't quite know what the thing is about the banana.
It's in the empty child.
Yeah.
Empty child. I haven't seen the empty child.
Because I was being a smart ass.
If you take them out of the box, like this particular favourite of mine, Freddie Mercury, they still look rather cool as well. But I'll tell you what, I'll show you something that came today, because I keep talking about that I'm a great fan of a television series called The Big Bang Theory.
Now, really?
They've released a new line of Big Bang Theory Funkos to coincide with the end of the series, including this one here, which is really cool, Raj Kuthrapali, with his tank top on, and he's holding a wine glass. It's such a cool little figure. Look, isn't it lovely? All right, well, I reckon it is. But where do I put that one? I'll put it down somewhere. I'll put it down here. But it seems that I seem to be acquiring original release Big Bang Theory Funko Pops, including this one of the once expensive Sheldon Cooper. There it is. Now, I've seen these things advertised on eBay for, nearly £100. Got this one for £16. So, and I got a one... I'll say this very quietly for Isabella, for even cheaper. Got out of box, but still, they usually go for quite expensive amount, for £12. So, but I seem to be acquiring these cheaply off eBay, and then the ones I ordered ages ago from the current series release that has characters like Stuart in it are coming through. So they're really quite cool. I've got a load. I did actually, if you noticed on the 20 megabyte. Facebook page, which you can join, the picture I've got of all the originals. But I've got Amy Farrah Fowler turning up this week, both of them, the old one and the new one, and I just need to get Bernadette sorted out. That sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? And she's very attractive. Yeah. I do like Bernadette. Anyway, right, so Alan T. Butcher, I'll go back to the FantasyCon in a minute, because people are talking now. Alan T. Butcher said, I'm listening. Sorry, just been pursuing my destiny to be a town and district councillor for inner city Littlehampton. Too hard to get in my thoughts, down on Davros reheated. Yet we'll do eventually.
Reheated.
Yet we'll do eventually as the obvious... Oh, what? Edith Powell subtext... is so very striking, so when I return, I will...
Do you mean Enoch?
I beg your pardon?
No, I thought you meant Enoch Powell.
Eda Powell, subtext it says. It's so very...
Oedipal, yeah.
Oh, it's Oedipal, is it?
Yeah, Oedipal.
Thank you for that. It's so very striking, so when I return, I will take my rightful place as the supreme arbiter of the closely studied...
Yay!
Hooray! Laurie Nick says, what are the cosplay plans for Fantasy with the Y after the Y after the C con, Adam and Debbie? Well, what do you mean by that? Cosplay?
Well, I'm going to be wearing a Fantasy con t-shirt most of the time, but I intend to be cosplaying some rather amazing wigs throughout the weekend.
How can you cosplay a wig? Surely it's just
easy.
A wig.
I'm going to be wearing bright blue wig that's now down to my knees.
I will not be cosplaying. I'll just be encouraging people to do so. And I was actually up to trying to break the...
You could, if you want to cosplay a wig, you could always cosplay Cousin It from the Addams Family.
Shut up.
I used to be able to do that.
Shut up. I was planning, I had in my mind to run the... break the record for most people dressed up as a Doctor Who... character at a convention, which is currently 498, I believe. However, Guinness charge quite a lot of money for trying to break official records, but it's breakable but it's finding the, I think it's like $2,500 to actually break it.
Yeah. Maybe if we're successful this year, we should look to make
that. Because people want to turn up and be part of an unofficial record break. You want to, they want to have a, because I would, if we did it officially, I would give out fake certificates for them all to say, because we broke the record as a team. I would actually have the original one, of course, up on my wall. But moving on, where do I go? And Laurie, I've done that one. So yes, if you're talking about the cosplay plans for the actual event, we will have, it will be just, it's a cosplay event, it's a festival cosplay, so I would hope, apart from the crew, everybody would be in cosplay. And those that are more original will have more chance of winning a competition or a prize for their cosplay, and there'll be like the original, there'll be Doctor Who cosplay, there'll be under 15s and adults, but there'll be five on each day. So we'll have a run of competition on the Saturday and the Sunday, so nobody misses out.
Sorry.
I thought you were heckling me for a minute. For a change.
No, I'm coughing. I'm sorry.
Deal. Take a quick sip of water. Alice Butcher says, the Garm should be our mascot. He'd bite everybody, yes. So I don't think that's a particularly good idea. Oh, we've got a YouTube link from Joe Briscoe, which I can't play because this is an audio presentation. And Lillian Robin says, what? No closely studied commentary this week? Now I can go back to
Fantasy Con News. Now he's saving it up for doubles next time, Lillian.
Back to Fantasy Con News. Right, so where do I go up to? I've got a festival of cosplay. Joe Lofthouse, who is an exceptionally talented makeup artist, will be doing face painting with some of her exceptionally talented face painting colleagues. We've got free carer tickets, everybody. So if you have somebody who's coming along paying full price, which requires to be cared for at the event, the carers can get in for free. Where do I get up to? Masters of Lego, which is a particular favourite of mine, an idea thought up by Mick Knowles and catered for by him as well, but we actually bought all the Lego, the loose Lego, whereas he's going to be bringing in his masterpieces of Lego and mentoring people, adults specifically, who want to embrace their love of Lego and turn it into what it should be as a thing for everybody. Parking nearby. There's loads of parking around the event, so... I beg your pardon?
There's tons of it.
Yes, so that sort of makes it perfect, that sort of thing. Michael Hembury's coming along, who is, well, not only Britain's smallest man, he's also been in Harry Potter, Willow, Star Wars, and a few other bits and bobs. And a very interesting chap. Lives in Southampton, and supports a very good football team. We will have celebrity signings coming along. They sell some amazing framed, signed items. Now, if you go to a place in Cowes called That 60s Place, the place is adorned by framed, signed photographs of various celebrities. They've even got a Doctor Who one with all the Doctor's autographs on it. Obviously, taken separately, but framed in this beautiful frame.
That was nice,
yeah. Fortune, but this is very exciting. But obviously, great gift to somebody if you can find a specific autograph for a specific person. of course, you can get your own autographs there from our own in-house celebrities. The Plaza Ices will have their van there because I'm hoping that it's going to be an August day. It'll be so roastingly hot that one of the first things people will be wanting will be a nice Mr. Whippy with a flake in. And that's called a 99, American listeners. It says here, run by local fans. Well, run by me, actually, but I'm fairly local.
fan.
The White Knight is going. Now, if we don't know who the White Knight is, American listeners, go on YouTube and just sort of write in the White, as in Isle of Wight, Knight, and put in Holly and Phil on it as well, then you'll get up his appearance on this morning. Britain's Got Talent performer. Can you guess who the Britain's Got Talent performer is, my dear Deborah?
It's not that. What's his name? Something Sandy.
Something Sandy. No, it's VJ.
VJ. Oh yes, I forgot VJ the DJ.
Yeah, but she's not. That's okay. She's a VJ, but she wasn't a DJ when she was on Britain's Got Talent last week. She was a hobby horse rider.
I'm sorry.
No, you should watch it because VJ was on it last week. Christopher Ryan. He's been in Doctor Who. He's also been in The Young Ones. He's been in Absolutely Fabulous, and he sent us a video.
I can't wait
message.
To meet him.
we have a Star Wars zone, which is more of a Star Wars. It's not, it's like a planet, it's huge. So I think zone isn't quite the right word for it. It's a Star Wars residency. Was that a sort of word for it? Hello? Anybody there?
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
I'd say that the Star Wars area, Debbie. It's a Star Wars residency. It's huge. It's too big to call a zone.
Yeah.
And that will be taken over by the 51st Legion Isle of Wight Garrison. Who
501.
Rather cool, are they not? Right. Harry Potter actors, including Josh Herdman, who played Gregory Goyle in all 8 Harry Potter films. My favourite appearance by him in Harry Potter, I did share a link to, is when he actually played Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets, when Harry and...
The floating sleeping potion cupcakes thing.
Harry and Ron had the Polyjuice potion, so they were Gregory. They were the Goyle and... Crab and Goyle, weren't they? And like I say, Josh Herdman played Harry in that scene, and I think he did a
great job. One of my favourite lines from Ron is, "How thick can you get?"
Robert Sherman is coming along. He's a great person to have at any event. He's very good at talking. He's very friendly and very approachable, and he's very good at doodling Daleks on things. So,
Doodling Daleks.
He'll doodle a Dalek. You sign his autograph, you say to him, "Can you doodle me a Dalek?" And he'll do a little Dalek cartoon on whatever he's signing. I don't know if Andrew Smith does that, but he did write Full Circle, which is a story we're approaching very soon, and we might even do it before the convention's on. Alistair Pearson, who is a best friend of the event, so I do hope he turns up this time, and I'm sure he will.
That's it, though.
No, he it was him that actually got the ball rolling in regards to guests. There's a picture of him on Facebook recently, actually, looking like he was a politician, standing up at some sort of thing doing a talk. We have a viewing tent, which will hopefully, if plans come to fruition, be showing episodes of Doctor Who in it. Aaron Eisted, the best magician person on the Isle of Wight, will be being magical at FantasyCon. We have a soft play area for our little kitty winks. It's a very small one, but it's still soft play. Martin Ballantyne, who was in Dark Knight as the Joker's henchman. He's also been in Harry Potter. And so we do have family tickets. We have Davros. We've got unmissable fun, it says here, Debbie.
We've got Canine and his voice.
We've got John Leeson and we've got Canine, so you couldn't get much better than that. Geek Heaven is...
We were talking at the meeting the other night, which was brilliant. It was good to get everyone together. We were talking about possibly seeing if we could get our American colleagues on while we're at Fantasy.
Well, I think me and Kirby were talking about that last time, weren't we, Kirby?
Yes.
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 So shut up, Debbie. Well, I'm sure it's possible because we've got Roy, who's a bit of an expert on that field of expertise. So it is certainly possible, but they'd have to get up pretty early in the morning to do it.
That's fine.
12 o'clock.
We've got some chap called Ben Shoveler who's going to be stage host for the weekend. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he gets up to.
That's not a problem.
We are accessible for people in wheelchairs and stuff. Everything that everybody needs to see is downstairs.
Well, you have to be accessible for Davros.
Indeed. That shopping cows are going to be there with their antique collectibles, I think you would call them, especially lots of Star Wars things. We have local charities there raising money for good causes, and we'll have good causes like Cows Carnival there, doing raffles and raising money for their own keeping going, which is obviously one of those things that's difficult to raise money for. Apparently they do things for charity but find it very difficult raising money for their own events. Simon Boucher-Jones is a Doctor Who novelist who lives on the Isle of Wight. We've got, as I say, it's on the Bank Holiday weekend. There's something to do on the Isle of Wight and the Bank Holiday weekend. And obviously people coming over on holiday anyway, they can go and watch a powerboat race on the Sunday and come and see us later for the rest of the day on that day. So.
It's always good to get in a few of the powerboat races, definitely.
We still have some trading pictures available. I want to sell them because it brings money into the event. Colin Baker's a dream to come, everybody.
Yay!
Although he's very difficult to get hold of. He doesn't seem to like answering his emails, but he has promised to come along. And the event is sponsored by APV Services, Wedding Videography and Photography. It's also heavily invested in by Big and Bold Solutions, who actually spent an absolute fortune supplying us with advertising in very good places.
Good
and it's still
smitty,
happening.
Yes.
So there you go.
Rhymey O'Reilly, yeah.
So we're still in negotiations with Lavazzi, so you had to get the plug in there, so save me doing it later on, to get some stock in to sell at the event. So you might be able to buy a fourth Doctor's scarf or seventh Doctor's umbrella, jumper and stuff. So, and like I say, whowon.co.uk will not be there, but they might be giving us some stuff to sell. I might even sell off the cardboard cutouts right behind me.
I'll reserve one.
Sell anything. I'll sell
it's
myself.
It's a fire sale. Everything goes.
Yeah. Sell myself just to get some money in, so I don't have to pay for anything at the end of it. Because the idea.
Tom looked at me all dubious, like when I said I wanted one of those.
Well, you are talking about cardboard cutouts, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. Cardboard cutout, Doctor Who cardboard cutout.
Yeah, so we need the money. So if we lose money at the event, it definitely won't happen again. So it's quite important we do actually make enough money. So we've got enough in the pot just to put in the groundwork for it to happen next year. I know we've only had 5 months to get this going, and the next time we might have over a year, because I'd like the next one to be at the half-term holiday in October, but... We'll
maybe you could find the funds to bring over a couple of Americans.
Oh, we said this last time. Shut up. Crowdfund it, for goodness sake. Lorinick says, that record is a farce when thousands of people attend WhoCons in costume every year. But that wasn't actually... It's not so much a farce. It has to be an official record. So you apply to Guinness, and Guinness will... then turn up or find a way of making sure it actually happened. So yes, I accept that there may have been events where more than 400 and whatever people were sort of measured as being in costume or character for Doctor Who, but it wasn't official because there weren't any Guinness people there to prove it. That happens a lot in the world, you know, the records that are unofficially broken. I know what you're talking about, Debbie, but I don't think that will excite people having an unofficial record thing, because you'll always get, like Laurie said, an event in America had thousands of people dressed as Doctor Who characters, but it's not official. So it'll only be exciting if it's official. Alan T. Butcher said you will probably get two next time, this time from a councillor, hopefully. Yes, hopefully. I agree with her. Vote Alan.
That would be nice, yeah.
Even if you don't live in Littlehampton, vote Alan. Postal vote.
So can you do that?
So, obviously, come along to the event. Come along. We've had so many people coming from off the island. We've got the Staggering Stories team. We've got Alan himself. Let's get a few more people. I don't know why Andy Nunny isn't coming down. Why doesn't Andy come down? I mean, he can come. Tim Drury won't come down. He ain't got enough money.
You don't know that he's not.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So that's it for that. Anything else? I was going to do a quiz, but I've sort of been rambling on about Fantasy.
It's been actually really nice to talk about Fantasy Con so thoroughly.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's only us that wants to talk about it, though, eh?
Aww.
I've got to do some more videos yet. So if you hashtag Fantasy Con, that's hashtag FanTCCon. You'll find the page on Facebook. You'll find any posts on social media in relation to it, and you'll find some very interesting videos. Debbie, did you see the video? I haven't posted it yet. I've done a new video. If you go to Cowes Enterprise College, there's a big screen as you walk in.
Is it there? Have you done it for the big screen?
It starts on Monday, tomorrow, apparently. If you walk in, on the big screen on the left, they show those of adverts and information about the school, but there is an advert that I've put together, which I might do a better version of a bit nearer the time, that basically shows the event and who's at it and the highlights of it, but it doesn't show absolutely everything. Behind me is a laminated A4 poster for Fantasy Con. Shall I get it down so you can see it better? There's a hole in my TARDIS. There we go. So this is the laminated, so you can see it's all shiny. I've got a laminate. Shut up. Oh, go on then, Kirby, before...
What I would like you to do is, video that's going to be showing at Cowes Enterprise College, you're obviously going to post that someplace as well, right?
What, the video?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't posted it. I did plan to post it. I might have posted it somewhere, actually.
But what I would like to see is someone go to Cal's Enterprise College and take a video there of it on their screen.
Typical Kirby. If it shows up there, I'll probably video it myself. But I'll be there on, well, tomorrow and Tuesday picking up Isabella from Batman.
Isn't it right outside your door?
Not quite. It's a good 5-6 minutes walk away. But there you go. Look. That's my laminated A4. I've got a laminator, Debbie. In fact, it was cheap at Argos. And that little thing. I did actually post one of these up on a board across the road from my house. Not only did the bloke next door, it was up there for 5 days, rip it down. The one I went past this morning, he'd not just ripped it down, he ripped the whole board down, so there's no chance of me hanging it up anymore. That was a really extreme way to stop.
Why did he do that?
Yeah, how rude.
Well, I didn't ask him if I could put it up there. I did ask a lady who lives next door to him if I could put it up there, and she said, I don't think that'll be a problem. So anyway, ripped it down and the board so it can't be put up again, and nothing else can be put up.
Golly. That's Maybelline supporting a local thing, yeah.
Well, Lillian Robin has posted a link to the GuinnessWorldRecords.com people dressed as Doctor Who record, which I'm just clicking on. It's going to take ages to load because I'm doing a podcast. 492 people in Mexico, and it's got a picture of the Guinness people in the background and Peter Capaldi holding the actual certificate. So I'm fairly confident
that other events... Is she competing to be as pedantic as I am?
No, but I'm fairly confident.
Didn't you?
There has been other events where more than that many people dressed as Doctor Who characters. So it is breakable, but it's doing it officially, and I'd love to do that. But I'm pretty sure I did my research. When you do the application, you have to pay them £2,500 to actually attempt the record. Love to do that. But if I had £2,500, I could pay the deposit to Cowes Enterprise College for the actual event itself. Yeah. So there you go.
All right, I'm looking at the map of where you are and where Cowes Enterprise College is, and you're right, it's a few minutes walk.
Well done, Kirby.
We know.
So I have mentioned the sponsors, and the sponsors of FantasyCon. I just want people to, you know, I mean, if anybody watches this video or listens to the show, ask me a question, I'll answer it. There will be other events. In fact, there's an event coming up in Newport in which Anthony Griffiths is going to be bringing some characters to Heroes. I won't be available for that. I was originally. It's on the 17th of May, I believe. Hang on. Debbie, you can go along to that one to look after.
What, Daddy?
Hang on. Just getting my calendar out. It is on... the 18th, Saturday the 18th of May at 12 o'clock at Heroes down Scarrett's Lane in Newport.
I work till 2 and I'm the only one to the office.
You've always got some excuse, haven't you?
No, I'm going away for a bit next week.
Can't make it, doesn't matter. But anyway, there will be some outside or inside, depending on the weather, Heroes in Newport with some Doctor Who characters. I have to tell Rob that I can't make it to that because I've got a filming job to do.
Tom and Nyla could probably go.
Anybody's welcome. Turn up, support the event, and it's going to be fun. I don't know why people aren't being a bit more excited about it, Debbie. Why aren't they being more exciting about it?
I'm excited.
It's going to be much better than Island Con.
I know, but as I said at the meeting the other day, we are unfortunately under the shadow of what happened with Island Con.
People had fun at Island Con. This is going to be better.
They remember what happened after Island Con.
Only the people that didn't get paid, not the punters, the actual people who went.
And the Isle of Wight has a stupidly long memory for that sort of thing.
It's going to be much better.
I know.
Much better.
Yeah, I was just watching some Island Con videos last week, and everyone seemed very excited for it.
And this is going to be better. So what can you say about that? Anyway, so next time, which will be in 2 weeks' time, we'll be looking at a story called... So City of Death.
City of Death.
And I will pre-warn you, it's one of my favourites. Running Through Paris is... it gives, like I say, Mary the chance to sing her favourite tune. And that is going to be... Oh, blast!
Wait.
Yeah, I'm going to have to record anyway. Sadly for myself, it's actually on my 53rd birthday, which therefore means it's the 9th birthday of the podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
It's our actual birthday show. So, yes. So episode 409 will be Happy Birthday, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and me.
Will I be allowed to come round for that one?
You might have to message Debbie about that one.
Okay, I'll be
nice. I've got a funny
feeling
she'll go...
I will see if we come back from the convention that afternoon in time to... for me to join the podcast. We'll
now
see.
You change your tune. Now you know it's our birthday. There will be pedantic people around the world who will remember that the pilot episode went out on the 13th of May. But...
I'll be at the convention from Thursday until Sunday. By Sunday, we may just want to leave.
Yeah. I won't be putting... the episode probably will go out on the 13th of May and be recorded on the 12th. Although the live one, obviously, will go out. Well, I'm being a bit... yeah, I'm tired. I need to get a... Oh, I've got a drink here. That's handy. So, yeah, on my birthday, on the podcast birthday, it will be the City of Death, which, like I say, I did allude to. It's one of my favourites. It's my second favourite story of all time.
So, me too.
It's brilliant. So I just won't have any... it'll be interesting what the girls think about it. I know Mary loves it dearly, especially the music.
just the music.
What do you mean, just the music?
Running through Paris.
It's got John Cleese in it. It can't go wrong. Anyway, and it's funny you're talking about, obviously, Jenny Linden, who is in the Doctor Who and the Daleks. You must watch Doctor Who and the Daleks before Jenny...
I love that movie.
Before Jenny comes along to the event. I've got to meet her, actually. I've got to phone her up tomorrow. I'll arrange a coffee meeting with her. Yeah, so... Oh, I've gone off the train of thought now. Oh, yeah, so we were talking about who is in it, because obviously Eleanor Bron is also in City of Death. And Eleanor Bron was in Women in Love with Jenny Linden, Glenda Jackson, Alan Bates, and Oliver Reed.
And
you
she's
didn't
in
know
Help
that, did you?
Beatles.
And she's in Help, yeah.
I love her.
Eleanor Bron's in Help, yeah. We're talking about the links.
I haven't watched what I see.
Jenny Linden, she's great. And she was... Oh, that's fantastic. I love Help. It's a
favourite movie.
Cracking
that
film, Help is. And it's got some good music in it as well, funny enough. And it's of its time. It's all that 1965 films. I've got that feel about them, haven't they? That 1965 feel. And I know that it's interesting that Help, the Beatles at their height, this brilliant film starring them, Help, came out. But it was Doctor Who and the Daleks which broke the box office records for 1965, starring our guest, Jenny Linden.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
Thank you for that. So I can't be bothered to do a quiz this week. I did get the cards ready and everything, but we are running.
I've got to go cut the grass anyway.
You've got to go cut the grass. That sounds like a song from the late 1980s. Got to go cut the grass. Go go
cut the grass. Got to go
go. Go go cut the grass. Go cut the grass. Anyway, that's enough of that. A lot of people have just turned off.
We're all getting musical here. It's time to stop.
So essentially I'm going to say buy some tickets for the event, but I think I've said that a few times. So next week we're not doing a show. Week after we are. It's our birthday. Come and listen and join and have some fun.
I'm also going to be on the 13th. I will be guesting on another episode of the Earth Station One podcast, their book club podcast, where we review old...
Are you trying to get a plug in, Kirby?
Old classic...
Sounds like it.
Classic science fiction stories, novels, etc. We'll be talking about Ira Levin's This Perfect Day.
Kirby, do you know how much plugs cost for other podcasts on this show that haven't been agreed by me?
Did you know that... I've mentioned this before. I found the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast because of a plug on another show.
Are you trying to get out of pain?
It was.
I'll let you know. It's £5,000
on the Staggering Stories.
It's £5,000, Kirby. Alexa, how much is £5,000 in US dollars?
£5,000 is $6,462.54.
I'll let you off to 54 cents, but that'll be $5,000. That'll get the, thank you very much for that, because that gets the convention paid for. Well done. Right there.
What a deal. What a deal.
You can pay by PayPal. it's apvs@hotmail.co.uk. Right then. So, until next week, thank you for listening, watching, and participating in the show, those that did. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
The 20MB Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.
Right.
Oh, you were in fine form there, Adam.
Was I really? Same as usual, then.